All right, so are you ready?
I am.
Okay, good. So, guys, I have a really unbelievable treat for you. I have one of my close friends on the phone with me right now who is a hot, amazing, intelligent, wonderful, fantastic, everything, quality woman, basically the type of woman that anybody would want to be with. And she actually gave me a call last week after she went on a second date with someone that I had actually set her up with. And she was giving me feedback on the date, not such great feedback. And I halfway through said, I want to record this because I think it'll be fantastic for people to hear. Because I think that some of the mistakes that the guy that I set her up with are probably pretty common mistakes that many men make when they are either uncomfortable or anxious or looking to please and impress. And so I wanted to talk with her, first get a rundown of the date, and then sort of talk with her and dig a little bit deeper on this situation. So, hi.
Hey.
Thank you for doing this.
Well, you're welcome.
But yeah, so the floor is yours. So go, tell me about this interesting date you had
Well,
with my
first
friend.
I was gonna say, let me thank you for setting me up with this person because he really, no, I'm serious. He really is a good and genuine person. And I think first dates, second dates, third dates, they're pretty nerve-wracking for both parties.
Definitely.
And I like to think I give the person the benefit of the doubt because I'm really hoping they're giving me the benefit of the doubt that if I mess up, spill my drink, have food in my teeth, that, it's a first date and I have other endearing qualities besides, not using the right fork.
Exactly. You can see past
So,
it and see a bigger picture.
yes. So I went into this date thinking, I'd met him once before for drinks and I thought that there was potential chemistry. I thought he was a really sweet guy. And I had a good time and he made me laugh. And those are pretty much the basic characteristics that is going to garner any guy a second date with me. And when I walked up to the restaurant, I was pretty excited. And, he was very sweet and complimentary. And we got a table, tell me, that my hair looked prettier, that he liked my perfume. Really A plus, like, start out move. So I was excited. But as the dinner progressed, things unraveled pretty quickly. Now, I will say that this is a pet peeve of mine, and this wasn't what tipped the scales right from the get-go, but as soon as our food arrived, he started eating off my plate. Now, granted, this man is paying for my dinner, so he is kind of entitled to ask for a bite, but within a few minutes, all my scrumptious curly fries were gone.
No, oh my goodness. Okay. No, I wouldn't like that either. I don't like people touching my food, like even my fiance, who I've been with for 5.5 years, so I don't know if I would do well with someone that I just met sticking their
Yeah,
fingers in my food.
it falls a little bit under territoriality. And one of the funny things that had happened was he'd come in and said he liked my perfume, which was very sweet. And then the guy who was in the table next to us kind of bumped his chair and they started talking for a second. And I said, "Is everything okay?" And he goes, "Oh, he just wants to know what perfume my girlfriend is wearing."
Oh God.
And it stopped me for a second because I thought, I'm like, well, that's weirdly a compliment and it's weirdly presumptuous. So again, totally kind of let it slide. I'm like, okay, he's eating my fries, making grand assumptions. Let's just keep going with the date and see how it goes.
No, but what you're saying is like it wasn't a complete write-off for you. You still really enjoyed him. So those small things that were said weren't really a big deal.
Not deal breakers. Not at all deal breakers. And I would say for most of the early dates that I've ever gone on that ultimately ended up like this one, it wasn't any one thing. It was an accretion of things. It was an onion skin layer of little incidents that ultimately were off-putting, not one big deal breaker. And that's what happened here. I think the guy, was interested in opening up to somebody. And I think that that's a sign of a person, like a good sign, a positive sign that the person's emotionally mature and looking for a serious relationship. However, one of his opening questions was, "What do you think about monogamy?" And I was a little taken aback by that.
And actually, I want to interrupt for 1 second because the reason that I had set you guys up, and I told you this as well, was because when I did bump into this guy in the street, he had told me he's 40 and he is open and ready to be serious about a girl. And that is why I was ready to start introducing him to other girls. Because in the past, I was not, because he wasn't what most of my female friends were looking for, because he wasn't ready. He wanted to, you know, play around. He's in the music industry, so he wanted to be younger and enjoy himself, which is totally fine. But again, the girls that, you know, I have, who are my friends, were looking for something a little bit more long-term and, and serious.
Right. And what I tend to categorize myself as, I'm looking for someone with trajectory, meaning we're not just going to go out a couple times and that's going to be it. I'm looking for someone who wants to cultivate a relationship.
Exactly.
And when he asked me that question, there's part of me that was kind of excited because I've been thinking only somebody serious would ask that question. When I gave my response, which was, I'm in favor of monogamy, I'm kind of a serial monogamist, he wouldn't answer the question. Which kind of told me he had the opposite impression, and he started answering it. And but then ironically went on to say how much he wanted kids and a family. So my thought was, you don't see me as family material. It's what you want, but it's not with me. So that started to undercut my feelings pretty quickly. A couple other things that were standout moments of me kind of inwardly grimacing were when he told a story about when he was a kid that he was never sort of picked first for sporting things. And as I'm pretty artsy myself, sports are not high on my radar when men have to be amazing at.
Right.
But devaluing himself and making himself seem like this was this blight on his record as a man made me think that's what he thought when it wasn't what I thought. So I
Well, I'm going to interrupt you again. So can you paint like a larger picture of that? Because it's not him just saying, you know, well, when I was younger, I wasn't picked first all the time and being okay with it. It sounds like it was obviously...
He wasn't okay with it
and it was quite obvious. And he was putting himself down and showing you that that was an extreme insecurity for him. Is there a better way that you could have presented that information that you would have been okay with?
Absolutely. Because, you know, we all have insecurities and we all have plenty of them. My first thought is maybe that isn't the sort of thing you bring up in an early date.
Right.
If he was trying to make a parallel, like, look, I'm not the sporty guy, I'm the artsy guy. Well, that was already kind of a given in light of his, you know, his profession. But I think he took that gentle self-deprecation that most of us do when we're meeting new people to the next level. And it was the point where his shoulders had kind of hunched, his demeanor was a little bit lower, his comportment was kind of sad. So I'm thinking, I need to nurture this person, and he's, you know, not the upbeat, charismatic guy I was just talking to 2 minutes ago.
Exactly. And then you step into your mother role, and then it's quite unattractive.
It flipped it. It did. Mm-hmm. It completely flipped the energy of the situation from, hey, we're having a great time and tasting drinks and, you know, I'm putting past the fact that you've eaten most of my food and trying to enjoy my time with you.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking, do I need to, you know, put you on a couch and ask you about your mom?
Exactly. I know. No, I completely hear you. I understand. Where do you think that came from for him?
And this was what made it a little bit this made it more difficult for me as the girl sitting across from him who is his date, not a prospective friend. I felt like he wanted someone to kind of pat him on the back and say, you know what, that's cool. You're still attractive despite the fact that you're not like Mr. Macho. Because most girls don't want the super duper macho guy who doesn't want to spend any time with them and only wants to watch sports.
Exactly.
So he was deflating what could have been a positive attribute, because I'm not a sports fan either, and turning it into something that I was supposed to feel bad about him for. If he had just said, you know, hey, I'm not a huge sports fan, are you? And I would have said, me neither. He would have been like, cool. It would have been game over. No pun intended.
Yeah.
And we would have moved on to the next subject.
Exactly. Or even if he took it one step further and said, you know what? I obviously was not the kid picked first in gym class. That would have been okay as well. You know, you can be okay with that, considering, I'm just going to say, he is extremely successful in the music industry. On the other side, the creative side, absolutely passionate side, wonderful side. Another area, which is passion, that women are very, very, very much attracted to. I'm not saying they're attracted to music, but just passion and somebody who's able to take a hobby and or a like for something and make it into something great.
if he had said, you know what, I'm great with my hands on the piano or on the guitar, but not so much with the football or you know, a basketball, that would have been enough. I would have gotten it, and I would have been like, you know what, me neither. Like, mini golf, I'm awesome at. Everything else, not so much.
And that would have been a further connection for the two of you, I think. Whereas by him making that statement and putting it out as, feel bad for me, that completely separated the two of you, because it did, it again turned you into the mother, and you felt you had to take care of a person who wasn't able to lift himself up, which is not, in my opinion, what a woman really wants to experience when she's on a first, second, third, or even fifth date. And those types of conversations, I think, can come later in a relationship when you trust a person enough and value their opinion and know that they can listen to that information, lift you up, and still be there.
I completely agree. I think what's dawning on me just as you're saying that is what it did was it accelerated the intimacy level.
Exactly.
He shared with me something that would have been like a date five revelation, not a date two thing. And if we were closer at that point, I'd be like, oh, that's really cool that he's sharing something private like that with me. But it was one of many other sort of inside tips or inside tidbits that he shared with me that evening. And I thought, wow, you're telling me you're not that interested in monogamy, but you're placing me in a position where we're having personal, intimate discussions.
Yeah.
So I got a real mixed message.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I would also say he, you know, told me a couple physical, personal things about like a skin issue and some other, you know, some dating stuff that was a little disconcerting to the point where I'm now making a laundry list in my mind of what's going to happen on date three. Is if this is what he's telling me on date two, is this just the tip of the iceberg?
Yeah, you're like, what other problems do you have? We'll go into detail about the things that he told you about his skin conditions and his past dating history. No, don't feel bad. I'm not saying who you are. I'm not saying who he is. These are just really, I think it's just so important, the information, because a lot of the guys that I work with, they spill out a lot of information as well. Sometimes it's because of being nervous, it's anxiousness, it's discomfort. And sometimes those things are the easiest things to spit out of your mouth.
Right.
And it shows lack of control. But I think that it's really important to hear specifically what those things are that did turn you off and then understand why.
Gotcha. Well, one of the, I would say the thing that really turned the corner for me was when he talked about an ex-girlfriend. Now, as girls, when we read all our girly magazines, everything it tells us about dating is don't talk about your exes.
Yeah.
So I was like, note to men's magazines, don't talk about your exes either.
Exactly.
He mentioned a long-term relationship, which immediately had me boomeranging back to, you said you didn't like monogamy or you didn't talk about it, saying that the girl had a, I will just call it a mental issue. Mm. And yet he hung in despite this pretty severe mental condition. So now that begs the question, are you a glutton for punishment? Are you so sweet that you can't see a bad thing when it's coming at you? Are you a doormat? Why are you sticking around?
Exactly.
And when I did push it just a little bit, and I said, you know, it seems like you really had a connection with this girl, but it sounds like it was a pretty difficult relationship. Why did you stay? He said, we just had amazing sexual chemistry.
Oh, God. Okay.
So that really did go squarely in the negative column for me, which means that something, you know, things that should be potential deal breakers, which is, you know, treating him badly and, you know, having a wildly changing mood, not a deal breaker, but yet, you know, he'll stick around for the sex. That worried me.
Why?
Terribly. What it said to me is his priorities weren't in the right place. That's a really sophomoric way to look at a relationship. Like, I can take your bad behavior as long as you'll sleep with me.
As long as we have great, amazing sex. Which, again, if that is what you're looking for, then that's fantastic. But, again, he had told me he was looking for something a little bit more serious because he was 40. And that's fine to be that way in the past and be open about it. But there was nothing, from what I'm hearing from it, there was nothing to show that he wanted to go in the other direction with you. He was highlighting and explaining to you where he was in the past, but he wasn't really saying, you know, I'm not into that anymore. I'm looking for something a little bit deeper, which I think you could have grasped onto and you would have appreciated.
Well, and ultimately the date wrapped up because by the time we finished dessert and we're getting the check, my immediate thought was, I'm not going to kiss this guy. this guy does not want the same things I do. And in order to avoid that awkward moment when, you know, the guy walks you to the car, I said, you know, for better or worse, I'm a really upfront person, and I tend to like to take a long view of getting to know people, and I'm a little bit slower when it comes to dating. Mm-hmm. And if that's not something that's up your alley, I totally understand and respect that. At which point he got incredibly flustered and insisted we prolong the date, further confusing me, and went on to tell me in more detail about this bad breakup and this bad relationship and kind of pry about my ex-boyfriends, which I didn't really want to go into. No. I think new relationship, clean slate. Unless there's something really pressing about an ex that you need to know, like this guy with a rampant nose picker, please don't pick your nose.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to go there because God forbid you know one of the guys I dated. You're a comparer. Yeah. And you know, he's a billionaire and you're not. That's just not going to make somebody feel good. I don't want to know you dated models if I'm not model pretty.
Exactly.
So as he pried and I explained that, you know, I tended to date guys that were a little bit younger than him, he got even more, I would say, upset or unraveled. And it was just going on, and I kind of didn't know where to go with him. And ultimately he said, well, if you're not attracted to me, that would just be hell. What are you talking about?
Yes. Complete insecurity and not being able to handle tension. Okay, interesting.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And while I categorize everything that happened during the date as I appreciate honesty, and he was really honest with me, sometimes honest to a fault. And I suffer from that same thing from time to time. But when you're honest and you're not honest about the follow-up, which is, I'm feeling awkward because of X, or I didn't really realize you were going to give me that kind of answer, and I'm feeling, you know, X, Y, Z, that's the kind of honesty I appreciate. Mm-hmm. But his confusion toward the end of the date really sealed the deal for me. There was no way I felt like a follow-up date was
No, definitely not. And for me, it kind of just sounds like he doesn't really know how to communicate. I think I haven't actually spoken to him since you guys have gone out, but I just hope that he wasn't trying to communicate something else. I think that a lot of men that I interact with and that I work with don't know how to express what they're thinking or feeling. So they end up saying something that ultimately either insults the woman, puts her off, or puts her off completely when it's not really what they're meaning to say.
Well, I think that's true. And I did have that same feeling as I was driving home. You know, I really was racking my brain. Did I totally misunderstand this guy? I thought he was a smart, sensitive, hip, funny guy. And everything, all of those adjectives were turned on their head by the end of date two.
Yeah.
So I thought either I was sold a bad bill of goods on the first date or was totally confused, brain blendered by the second one. By the end, I didn't have enough incentive to follow up and call him and say, hey, did I not get you? I was already too far gone.
Exactly. And that happens as you get deeper into dating somebody, you know, you have enough examples of, oh, this guy is awesome, but he did like these three things. I'm going to go out with him again and see if I misunderstood. But you're right. But at date two, you're just like, yeah, no, it's not worth it. Because it's 50-50 at that point. And the negative 50 is, you know, creeping up to a 60 and 70% where it definitely outweighs the other side.
Exactly. I say it like this. I give people enough rope to either put a bow tie on the date or to hang themselves.
Exactly.
No,
and I know that you're very open. There are some other girls who they and it comes from their own insecurity as well, who cut off instantly, mainly because of an uncomfortable feeling that they have from some quality that gets displayed. But I know that you definitely do put in the time and the energy, especially when you sense that somebody is a really good person. You know? How old are you again?
I'm 36.
Okay, 36.
So
okay.
He was, I mean, he's really close to my age, which is why I didn't want to say that I date guys that are a little bit younger, even significantly, than me.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't want, if he told me he mainly dates 21-year-old girls, I would be put off by that.
Exactly.
But because I'm open-minded about age in general, I think that it's something I kind of keep under my hat a little bit longer.
Definitely.
Because I don't want it to color somebody's impression of me. But I realize that maybe, if I'm continuing to give him the benefit of the doubt, he didn't mean to color my impression of him quite the way he did.
Exactly.
I did end up leaving the date feeling like he was way more the feminine type and I was the mask. I felt like I was the guy on the date.
Mm-hmm. And that's a horrible place to be for a woman in the very beginning, because I always tell my guys that, like, for me, I crave to be feminine. I do have a lot of what you can call masculine qualities. And there are certain times where, you know, I do like feeling more masculine, but when I'm with a man, I want to feel feminine and like a woman and taken care of and petite and little. And again, just feminine. So it's bad when they're dragging you and they're like, all right, be the man now, be the woman, be everything. I'm just going to do nothing.
Yeah. And it went from being, you know, they always say there's alpha male. He went from being beta to being omega, which is outside the fray. It's not even within consideration. And it flipped a switch in me to be even more masculine and even more tough. And so the more he divulged about sort of bad things that had happened to him, the less feminine I got and the more like, hey, buddy, it's going to be okay. Like, exactly. I turned into a dude, and I was like, listen, bro, you're going to shake it off. Just brush it off. And I was like, what am I saying?
Exactly. It was like, oh, God, I don't want to be in this place right now. And then it's just sort of lost from there. I don't like it either. Not when I feel like in a position of power or control, but when I feel like either a mother or a teacher or somebody needs my help so early in a situation, it's just like, it's such a put off for me. And both of us, we are very strong characters and strong women. So, you know, some people do feel that way around us, but when you're on a date and you're looking for your potential partner for long-term or short-term, again, you want to be on an even playing field and you do want to feel like the feminine person in a situation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so I feel like I came away from that date. The confusion lasted about 15 minutes as I was driving home, and I'm like, head spun, what just happened to me? Mm-hmm. But after that, I felt bad because I felt like the date went off the rails and it didn't have to. But there was part of me that was a little bit relieved that I'd seen this side kind of early, because if we'd been on date 4 and he sort of, I call it vomiting your problems on people.
Yeah, throwing up on people.
Vomited all that. Yeah. And I would have been totally flustered.
Yeah.
So blessing and a curse is what I would have said that it was.
Exactly. Blessing. And so then how did you leave it? Were you very straightforward about the fact that you were put off and that it wasn't really for you? Or were you undecided at that point whether or not you wanted to see him again?
He did intimate toward the end of the date that he would be up for hanging out again. And I said, because I was still so confused and shell-shocked at that point, it wasn't a disingenuous answer because I said yes. But at the time, I reiterated the fact that I said, if you're okay with just hanging out with me, getting to know me, I'm very okay with that. The implication being, because he did talk about having, you know, pretty casual sex with other people, and I said that was not going to happen with me.
Right.
And that was how I left it, is if you're okay with what I'm offering, we can definitely hang out again. You have basically intimated throughout the rest of this date that you're not okay with it.
Right.
So I'm kind of surprised you're asking me out again, but if you're willing to change your tune, I'm willing to see you.
I'm in. Okay. That's interesting. And then, then it was left and you separated. And then did he contact you again?
I always, if somebody's going to pay for my meal, I'm definitely going to send them a thank you note.
Okay.
So I just emailed him to thank him and wish him good luck on something he was working on. But I didn't hint at further plans.
Right.
He did follow up a few days later and asked me if I wanted to get together. I genuinely couldn't, and I was still really confused. And I actually ended up intentionally scheduling what I call a palate cleanser date, which is I went out with a guy who was super cocky, super attitude-y, really super macho. And because I needed to get my bearings again.
Yeah.
And that date was, I would say, wholly unsuccessful.
Yeah.
But I really needed to be reminded that I was a girl again.
Yeah, I understand.
So there is fallout from, I also don't want this to misrepresent, like, you know, I guess I can't say my emotions to a girl on the second date or the third date. That's not at all the case. I felt honored and happy that he wanted to share emotional, personal stuff with me. I think it was just too much too soon.
I think so too. Definitely. Well, so then did you tell him that you weren't interested in hanging out again?
I'll admit I have not done that yet. And the funny thing is, I was thinking today about something funny that we had in common that we had chatted about on our first date, which had gone well. And there was a part of me that thought, should I give this guy another chance?
That's interesting.
But as I, ruminated on it a little bit more, I thought, you know what? I think that the attraction is kind of eroded, and it would probably be less fair to him for me to test the waters one last time. It might give him hope, and it might close the door for me. And if I'm already, the door is mostly closed, that's just not fair to do to somebody.
I
So
understand.
if he contacts me again, I'm probably gonna say, hey, it's not a match. But if he doesn't reach out to me again, I don't think it's appropriate for me, apropos of nothing, to be like, hey, I'm not interested in
Yeah,
you.
exactly. Exactly. So you kind of just left it as nothing. So leaving it up in the air in his eyes, possibly, instead of just coming straight out and saying not interested.
Right, and I think it may have been the right decision not to say anything at the time, because I did have that moment today where I was like, should I go back out with him? But I don't want to do that out of desperation or out of, I've had guys do that to me when I all of a sudden realized, God, I'm girl number four on his rotation. He's just trying to keep busy. I don't like the way that feels, so I don't want to do that to somebody else.
That's interesting. But I want to talk more about this other cocky guy that you went on a date with. So I have a lot of guys writing into me, and a lot of men out there who talk about women loving the bad boy jerk. And there's so many men who are like, I want to teach you how to be the bad boy jerk because that's what women like. And my stance on that is that women do not like the bad boy jerk. And I always say, it's not like women sit around and say, oh, I can't wait until I meet this great man who will belittle me and not return my phone calls and treat me horribly. Oh God, why doesn't that happen to me? It happens to every other woman. And I hate that a lot of men do think that, and many men fight me on it. If anything, they insult me because of it, thinking that maybe they'll turn me on, and it does not work at
Right.
all. But
No.
so I wanted to go a little bit deeper on this cocky boy comment, because you were saying that it definitely wasn't for you, but it made you feel feminine.
It did. I had met this guy at a networking function, and he was, I had a sense he was younger than me. I didn't know his exact age, but he's very, very tall. He played pro volleyball here and in overseas. And I think his combination of his height and some early success gave him a natural sense of confidence. But underneath it, what I saw was kind of a real person, or I felt like I'd peeked behind the flap cover of the book and saw maybe a little bit of a real guy. So I was willing to go and give him a chance. He was a little bit late to the date, but did text me to apologize. Not a big deal. When he showed up, he immediately launched into how crazy his work stuff was. And after about 10 minutes, he finally caught himself and was like, oh, we should talk about you now. As if it was a ping pong match, sort of, like, let me put the ball in your court. And it went on to be, he seemed somewhat glancingly interested in my profession. And just sort of went, I think I asked him a question that followed up with something he'd said about his work that overlapped in mine, to try to keep the ball rolling. And somehow it immediately spiraled into his sexual prowess. And I thought, did I do that? Did I level a question at him with, like, how many girls have you slept with? But he somehow was able to navigate the conversation right into sex. And I thought, okay, work, sex. It's not that these are two of my least favorite topics, but I don't think they're date one topics.
No, not the day that you wanted to have.
Not the date I wanted to have.
Exactly.
I asked him a little bit about work balance. He said he works too much and he plays volleyball on the weekend, and it was just he didn't have enough balance. And I said, well, what do you think would help that out? And he goes, a girlfriend. As if a
Interesting.
girlfriend was sort of this robot that you stick into your, it was like an app for his iPhone that was going to make his life somehow better, and more
Interesting.
balanced. And then he
Interesting.
went on to tell me how women fetishize him because he's, and I said, for what? Which I didn't mean to play dumb, but I was like, what? He said, my height. And he said, most girls, they just want to hook up with me because of this fetish. I'm thinking, I'm a girl. I've never heard anybody talk about that.
No.
Maybe this is just his personal calling card.
Exactly. Maybe that's what he relies on. Okay, interesting.
But so he, I think he realized, and he finally sort of stopped short and said, you know, he goes, you should be a journalist. I said, why? And he goes, well, because you're getting me to tell you all these things that are embarrassing. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, I'm not getting you to tell me anything. You're telling me whatever you want to tell me.
No, but that's interesting because you took him away from being the cocky guy into being a person. I think that that's interesting to point out. And that's...
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I guess I would have been pleased if I thought it was a compliment, but I think he had realized maybe perhaps he divulged too much and was trying to put it on me. So it didn't feel like a compliment. It felt like a way of flipping the script and saying, you know, you got me to say all these embarrassing things.
Okay, that's interesting. Where was the part that made you feel feminine? That's what I wanna understand.
What he was doing was as, you know, he was talking about all these other girls, which he did, he would say, you know, but I remembered you because you were so pretty, or I remembered you because at the networking function we were at, there were a lot of people, and namely a lot of girls. He was doing sort of these grooming tactics that would make a girl feel like a girl.
Yeah.
You're pretty, you're memorable, you know, okay, your job is kind of interesting, but that was in a perfunctory way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're trying to feel feminine, your job isn't what's prized. It's often your, you know, what you look like, you know, other feminine skills. He's like, well, I'm telling you all my quirks. What are some of your quirks? And I admitted that I'm kind of a clean freak. He immediately rolled his eyes and told me how messy his house was and how he had to have a cleaning lady. And so that, I realized what was quickly wearing off was the you're pretty effect, and it went into, you know, you're too domestic, or you're this, or you're that. So it felt like it was really ricocheting around and not settling any one place. I didn't feel especially feminine or pretty, but I didn't feel like I was being turned into the guy. I felt like I was being turned into the, you know, casual listener of a weird conversation.
Okay. No, I understand that. That makes complete sense. But it really just doesn't sound like a connection between the two of you, that you were on two different playing fields. But what you're saying is that initially the cockiness appeared as confidence. And that's what I tell most of the men that women like. And for, you know, a lot of guys, a lot of jerky assholes, bad boys, they do project this certain level of confidence and comfort, mainly because they do put themselves first and they don't let a woman that they just meet rule them instantly. It's basically showing that they have respect and they have a positive view of their self-worth, which is what most people in general love, right?
I agree.
So that's what women are attracted to. Not, and then later on down the road, they probably show their true colors and do become jerks and assholes. And then I always say that, you know, at that point, a lot of women get wrapped up in other things, which are their own core issues of trying to change somebody and possibly wanting this asshole to suddenly become a great guy for them, which never really happens. That becomes a battle. It's like a whole vicious spiral. And that's why many men see wonderful women with guys who are jerks, because these jerks do have their moments where they are wonderful, and that's what the women latch on to. And that's a whole other conversation. But
yeah.
But at the core, in the very beginning, it is this confident, comfortable, cool character that respects himself that women are attracted to.
I think what I presumed about him was he was the type of guy who didn't need a girlfriend. He wanted a girlfriend.
Exactly.
And I have to say it's true about the other guy, too. What I'm looking, I don't need a boyfriend. I want one.
Right.
And there's a big difference to me because I worked really hard to get my act together, you know, to kind of deal with my baggage, be the best version of me I could be. And I'm looking for someone who feels the same, who's not looking for a person to be a crutch, a cure-all, you know, their own personal, like, social calendar orchestrator, you know, a true partner in the truest sense. And maybe that's really what date 1 through 3 is about, is figuring out if this person can be a reliable, interesting, entertaining, trustworthy partner.
Yeah. And then you battle the issues together and figure it all out. That's actually, I love the way that you just phrase that. That's really important, because that's also, you know, what I try and tell people, that they don't need to have somebody to complete them, but it's nice. It's wonderful to have somebody to add on to your life, to your already established wonderful life.
Yeah. It's like the three-legged race. You need another person to run it, but you really need to be in sync if you're going to run a three-legged race.
Oh, I love that. No, 100%. Oh, all right. Well, thank you so much for being open and honest with me. I know that maybe this could have been uncomfortable for you, but it didn't seem like it was at all. But I really think that you really clearly spelled out how the date went for you, what you liked, what you didn't like, and I hope that a lot of my guys can learn from this experience. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks so much.